Yeah, his blessings are running after us. I think about Deuteronomy 28. These blessings gonna run up on you and overtake you. God got so many more blessings that's ready to run after us and overtake us. We got to be in position to receive those blessings. I do thank the Lord for being here this morning. I thank God for what he's doing in my life. I thank God for how he's keeping us, how God is leading and guiding us. And, you know, think about what's going on in the world today. Just stuff just happening. And nothing happens for no good reason. Things are happening for a reason. Talk about your testimonies this morning, the thermostat going out and situation that you're, those things are for a reason. But I tell you, we keep that type of attitude, you know, and knowing that these things are happening for a reason. Maybe you need to call somebody over. That person that you need to call will be the one that you're going to witness to. Amen. You know, maybe you are in a tough spot in your life to where you're going to meet somebody else in a tougher spot than you, that you'll be able to witness to them. Amen. The what I'm saying is the world needs you. God sent you out there to the world to be a witness for him. And so we thank God for what he's doing in our life. And we really need God. Amen. We really need God in this day, in this hour, like we never needed him before. But we need God in this day and hour. You know, so many of us, we go on our intellect. You know, we go on by what we feel. You know, our emotions drives us. But we really need God to lead and guide us. We need a word from God. God needs to. We're going to be praying and asking God. I've been fasting and I've been praying. I've been asking God, Lord, what is it that you need, you want us to do? What do we need to do? And the Lord said, call a fast. And I didn't say anything to anybody. So I fasted. I said, Lord, this is you telling me this, or this me feeling this way? I said, I want you to tell me, Lord. I need you to be clear with me. And so I'm listening and listening. I said, Lord, don't let me miss out on you. You know, let me hear what you're saying. And so I talked to this brother, and he said, man, you know, we've been fasting. The church is on the fast. And I talked to this other brother. You know, man, we've been fasting. The church is on fast. And I said, Lord, you want us to fast. And it's time to fast, you know, and it's time to fast. And he, 3 times a year, we're going to try this fast. Beginning of the year, middle of the year, and somewhere in the end of the year. And ain't you ready to see some results? You know, ain't you ready to see the fruits of your labor? You know, I'm ready to see things. I'm ready to see the manifestation of God. You know, we do pray. We are praying church. But I really believe that we can pray more. I believe we can fast more. I don't know what you're doing, but as a church, as a family, a congregation, a people of God, I think we need to fast and ask God to destroy some yokes. Seek his will, what he want us to do. Amen. We know what we want to do. We know how we feel. Amen. But we want to get a word from God. We want the mind of the Lord. Amen. And I believe when we do it his way, how many know you got to do it God's way? How many know that there is a way that seems right to man? Amen. But in the end, there is destruction. And so we want to do it the right way. And when I believe truly, when you do it the right way, you're going to see some results. And I don't believe the results are going to be stagnant. I believe they're going to be right away. I mean, can you recall? I can recall. I mean, he keeps taking me back to the times when I was sick. He's taking me back when the times when I was in trouble. And he told me to fast 3 days. Pastor was preaching, about Hezekiah, and they was up against all of these armies, and he called the whole congregation to fast. Even the kids was fasting. And I said, Lord, you telling me to fast because I was in trouble. I was really in trouble. I got into it. Y'all know the story, but you know, I got in trouble. And as you say, fast 3 days. And it was like a life and a death situation for me. Because I was really in trouble with the law. And I let my temper get to me. Amen. And so he said, fast 3 days and I'll keep you. Because I was, Lord, okay, I'm going to fast these 3 days. Those 3 days wasn't nothing for me. Because I know I really needed something from God. I think God needs to get us in a position to where we need to feel that we really need something from God. Amen. I mean, we need a burden that we really need something from God. Amen. I know we need something from God. You know we need something for God. And so when I fasted those 3 days, I asked my wife, I told her what I was doing. She said, yeah. And so we fasted 3 days. No food, no water. That don't matter if you have food, you have water, because I'm learning that there's all types of fast, you know. And so God honors what you say you're going to do, I believe. Amen. It's not how much you do. You can't outdo God. It's not how much you do. You can do 40 days and say, I came off this 40-day fast. Ain't nothing happening. But we want to see something happening. Amen. We want to see some results. You know, I can't fast 40 days or 3 days. I can't afford to, you know, shedding pounds and nothing happen. You know, if I'm shedding pounds, I want to see something happen. Amen. And so after the end of the 30 days, I was with my brother and I was with my dad. I was doing a side job because I was suspended without pay. And my wife called and said, you got a letter from your job. I said, open it and read it. And they were saying that we'll put everything behind us and we want you to come back to work tomorrow. And man, when I got that news, I just dropped to my knees and I just started saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Crying and praising God, you know, just worshiping the Lord. And my dad, my brother said, what's wrong? And I told them, because they didn't know what happened. I said, boy, I told you, your temper going to get you in trouble. That's my dad said. But I was thanking the Lord because he, out of my wrong, he still came and rescued me. Amen. Because I was facing charges. You know, they sent the police out to the house and all of this stuff, you know. And I said, Lord, I don't want to hear the words that I say to people, because I work in what they call the intake center. When you come in off the street, I'm the one to tell you, turn and face the wall, take the picture, look at this dot on this camera. I said, Lord, I don't want to hear none of those words. I don't want to be in this system. I don't even want my picture, my information in the JMS. I don't want this, Lord. And God granted me what I wanted. But you got to do it God's way. Amen. I believe God answers prayers, but there's some things there's some yokes. Amen. There are some things got to be destroyed and broke, but it comes by fasting and prayer. Amen. We need a word from God. The Bible tells us where there's no vision, my people perish, and God's people are perishing. I mean, daily. I mean, they're perishing. We need God to show us what we need to do. Amen. We need God to show us. We got to have a vision from God. And I believe sometimes the only way that we can get this vision is fasting and prayer. And so today I'm going to be in the book of Daniel chapter 2, talking about our brother Daniel this morning. It ain't nothing wrong with fasting. And I'll tell you, people are just fasting for health reasons now, and they're getting good results. People are really getting good results. They're pushing back stuff, and they are really getting good results. But we need some good results spiritually and naturally. But we need God to answer us, amen. But he will. I believe that he will. And I believe God come off of this fast. I believe God's people start getting well. I think the minds will start healing. Things that we're crying out for, I believe it's in fasting. You know, I believe it's in fasting because, you know, we need God to destroy some yokes. And so let's go to the book of Daniel. I'm start at the very first verse, Daniel chapter 2. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord God, for your testimonies, oh God, that you've given your people. We thank you for keeping your people, Lord. We thank you for strengthening them, Lord. We thank you, God, for watching over them, Lord, each and every day, God. We thank you for new mercies, Lord. God, we thank you for your grace, God. Lord, your grace, God, that taught us, oh God, your grace, God, that's leading us, God, your grace that's going to continue to lead us. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord God, because God, we know in your word, Father God, there is fullness of life, Lord God. We thank you for this word, God. We ask, Father God, that you will help us, Lord God, each and every day, God, to get our daily bread, Father. We pray today, Father God, that you will continue to bless this congregation, continue to bless your people, Lord. Look on, Pastor, this morning, God. We pray, God, that you, God, would deliver, God. We ask, Father God, that you will strengthen her, God. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will give her peace of mind, Lord. In the name of Jesus, our brothers and sisters, Lord, that's going through in their bodies, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that they would adhere to the word, Father God. Lord, do what you say do, Father, in the name of. Let them know, God, that it's you speaking to them, Lord, and not flesh, Lord God. Lord, you said obedience is better than sacrifice, Lord. So, God, help us to be found, God, obeying you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And help us, God, to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. We ask this blessing, Father, in Jesus' name. Give God a praise this morning. Give him a good praise, I should say. Hallelujah. He deserves a good praise. Amen. Verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the childrens, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Sariach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Here it is. The king had this dream and he needed somebody to interpretate this dream to him. They said, look, can you tell us the dream and we'll give you the interpretation? He said, this thing is gone from me. Either he forgot the dream or the king didn't want to tell them the dream. I believe that the king forgot the dream. I mean, he didn't forget the dream altogether. He just wanted them to tell him the interpretation of it, because I feel like if he told them the dream, they will come up with some bogus interpretation. So he said, I know y'all ready to tell me a lie. I know y'all ready to deceive me. You know, I know I can see it on you. You know, sometimes you can just see things on people. You can tell, but this must have been a pretty wise king, because he didn't tell them the dream. And how do you expect for somebody to give you an interpretation of a dream if you don't remember? So I believe that he was holding back on his dream because he wanted to see just how wise these people are. Amen. He wanted to see how much wisdom that the astrologers and the magicians say they got. You know, no, I'm not telling you the dream. You so wise, you tell me the dream and the interpretation. It takes some power to do that. It takes some insight to do that. Amen. You know, it's easy for somebody. So I had this dream and I dreamed this, that, and the other. And somebody can come up with interpretation like that, boy. Oh, I know. I see it. God is saying, the Lord showed me. God will show you, I believe, sometime. But at least go acknowledge him about the dream. Go ask him, Lord, what this dream mean? You may have your interpretation, but God be talking about something totally different. Altogether different. You be way offline. So how do you expect for somebody to give you an interpretation of dream if you don't remember the dream? So I believe he was holding back. So he was saying, no, I'm not telling y'all nothing. And you're supposed to be so wise. Y'all tell me what I dreamed. You know, tell me what was in my mind. The children answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing at any magician, astrologer, and Chaldean. And it was a rare thing that a king required, and there is none other than can show it before the king, except the gods that dwell not with flesh. They saying, oh, that's a rare thing. I mean, you know, we never heard of nothing like this. You know, a king asking, you know, the magicians and astrologers something like this. That sounded like that was something that was just too hard. You know, that was a hard thing for them. With all of their magic and, you know, and all their science tools, you would think they would come up with something, but they dare not to speak to the king a lie about the dream. He said, if you don't tell me the truth, all y'all going to be killed. Not just you, your house, all your family going to be killed. And so they was wise not to answer him in an unwise manner. And they said, it's a rare thing that the king required this. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. They had many gods, and their gods didn't dwell, and their gods dwelt with them. They had a whole lot of gods. You know, they lived in these temples, and they worshiped idols, and they just didn't understand the God that didn't. They didn't understand that there was a God that does dwell with flesh. There's a God that does live among men. There's a God that lives in heaven, but he also comes and dwells among men. But they lived, their gods lived in temples. They worshiped these idols. And David, he said it like this in Psalms 115:4-8. He said, their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Nose have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither do they speak through their throat. And he said, they that make them are like unto them. And so is everyone that trusted in them. These gods, they didn't. They had these gods, but they didn't share no human life. They had no human a relationship, no personal relation. They just stayed there and did nothing. These were the gods that they worshiped. They're people that are worshiping gods, worshiping things that don't answer you, don't do nothing. They got to go in to the temple every time to seek their God. I ain't got to go to no temple. You don't have to go to a temple every time just to seek your God. I ain't got to be at church always to seek God. I can be in my car. I can be laying on my back, you know, but they had to go into their God. Their God wouldn't come to them. But I'm so glad I know a God that when I call him, he comes. He comes when I need him. I don't care where I'm at. I can be in a ditch. He'll come. I can be in a pit. He will come. You know, if you ain't in, if you're in a pit, you can't get to the temple. If you're sick, lying in your bed, you can't get to the hospital. You can't get to the temple. If you can't get to someplace, but all you got to do is raise your hand. All you got to do is call on God. All you got to do is call him. He will answer you no matter where you at. He'll come to you and see about you. They didn't understand that there was a God that do dwell with flesh. They didn't understand that there was a God that sits in heaven that will come down here to earth to be with men. They didn't understand that. All they understood were these idols that they had that sat there, that you had to do everything for them. They couldn't do nothing for them. They were lifeless and they were powerless. And then the Bible says, David said, so everyone that trusts in them shall be like them. And everybody that's trusting in anybody else or anything else besides Jesus, besides God, going to be lifeless and they're going to be powerless, unable to stand, unable to do anything. That's why you see so many God's people not able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So many God's people are falling by the wayside. So many of them are giving up. So many of them are just turning their back against God because they are lifeless and they have no power. I don't know about nobody else. If you're serving the God that we know, the God that created the heavens, the God that created the earth, the God that lives in heaven, but he will come down and dwell with me, dwell with you. You will have all the power that you need. You have power over all the power of the enemy. You have power over the sickness. You know, God's people ain't getting healed. They're getting sicker and they're getting sicker. The things are getting worse and worse. We need a vision. Amen. We need to hear from God. We need to know what's going on. Amen. And so I'm glad that I know a God that dwells with me. David said, what is man? They didn't understand this. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou livest, that thou visited him. We have a God that sits right here with us. He ain't far off. He just ain't up in heaven. He will come to your rescue. David also said, he said, the Lord is not unto them that call upon him. To call all to that call upon him in truth. We got a God that's concerned about us. We got a God that wants a relationship with us. We got a God that cares about the things that's ailing us. We got a God that wants to perfect everything that concerns us. Amen. He just ain't sitting afar off. He's waiting for you to call him. Call on him in sincere and in true. He's waiting for you to seek him for his purpose. Amen. John wrote it like this. John answered them saying, I baptize with water. But he said, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. So many people are standing around. God is just right in the midst of them. They don't recognize that he's right there with them. Some of God's people don't even recognize that he's with them. Lord, don't leave me. Don't forsake me. He said, I'll never leave you. I won't ever forsake you. But a lot of people don't understand that he's here. All you got to do, he said, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. Amen. He said, he's right here. He's right near you. He's right here with you. In fact, he's better than that. He's in you. Christ lives inside of you. He wants that relationship inside of you. He want to tell you some things. He want to show you some things. But we ain't got time. Either we ain't got time or we doing something that's taking. We don't have the spiritual ear to hear. We don't have the spiritual eyes to see. All we see is what we see in the natural. All we hear is what we hear in the natural. And that's what we go by. Look, ask God to open up your eyes. Ask God to open up our ears so we can hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit wants to speak. Matter of fact, I believe the Spirit is speaking, but are we hearing? I believe the Spirit is speaking. He spoke this morning, but do we really take this in, or is this just a formality? Somebody get up and prophesy. Yeah, what did they prophesy about? I can't remember. You got to remember what God said. Amen. So you can remind him. He said, bring back my word. Bring it back to me. It ain't that he forgot. He wants to make sure that you're not letting, that you're giving the earnest heed to the things that you heard and not letting them slip. Amen? That's what he's concerned about.
You can't bring it back to him. You can't tell him what he said because you ain't heard it. It slipped you. It went in one ear and out the other. You better grab hold of this word. It ain't the prophet that's speaking to you. It's God that's speaking to you. It ain't the sister, your brother speaking. It's God trying to tell you something. We just got to listen to it and obey what God is telling us. Amen. So God, he lives inside you. They didn't understand that. They didn't know that the prophet said, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and he shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. They didn't understand that. People don't understand that Emmanuel is here. God is with you today. God is right by your side today. God is inside you. He knows that you're sick in your body. He knows that you have needs. He knows that God never left you. You feel deserted because you ain't sought him. He ain't left you. Start seeking him. Start calling on his name. Start doing it with a routine and see just how close you get to him. Do it on a daily basis. That's why Jesus told him, look, to pray, give us this day. Give us tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the next day, our daily bread. You got bread that you are leaving on the table. You got bread that somebody else will eat that you don't want to eat. You got bread that you don't like that's good for you. Some people like whole wheat bread. Some people like white bread. Some people like rye bread. Whatever God put on the table, you got to eat it, whether you like it or not. It don't feel good, what you're going to eat sometimes. Don't taste good, but it's for your good. Amen. It's all for your good. That's why Paul said all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. Not your purpose. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan. It's all laid out, but we got to seek him for it. We just can't come up with no anything. Amen. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are far past our ways. Amen. And God shall be with. They didn't know that God that was with you, the God that was with Daniel. They didn't know Emmanuel. How many know Emmanuel this morning? How many know that God is with you this morning? If you don't know, you ought to get to know that he's with you. Get to know him. Get to know him in a much better way. They didn't know that God was with that was with you. I know that God is with me. He talks with me. He walks with me. He woke me up this morning. Amen. He's with me when I'm in trouble. He's with me when I'm sick. He's with me when I don't understand. I know God is always with me. He's with me every time. Amen. I can be doing something just as simple as when I'm working on my vehicle, working in the house or something. When I don't have an understanding how something should be put together, man, I would just lean back. Couldn't find on YouTube, Brian. I say, Lord, now I need you. I said, it don't take him long. I said, Lord, show me how to do whatever I was doing many times. Show me, God, how this thing should go. And I tell you, man, right then and there, God showed me how I can get something done when I didn't know how. God trying to show us how we can get some things done that we've been trying to get done 20, 40 years. We still wandering in the wilderness. 3 days journey is taking us 40 years and we still ain't got it. We still ain't got it, but we gonna get it. I'm getting mine. You getting yours? I'm getting it because I'm gonna do what he told me to do. I'm gonna do what he say do. I'm gonna do what Mary said. Just do what he say do. Amen. Just do what he say do. They didn't know that God came down from heaven and dwelt among us. They had no idea that he was a God of heaven and the God of the earth. Amen. He's the God of all creation. They just didn't want to recognize him. He says, for this cause, verse 12, I'm back in Daniel. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men in Babylon. And the decree went forth
that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his and they sought Daniel and his fellows. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said unto Arioch, and he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to him. The Bible says that the decree had went forth for all the wise men to be slain. So he sought Daniel and his fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sought to kill them. But the Bible says in verse 14 says, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Here it is. He didn't start with the magicians. He didn't start with the astrologers. He come for God, folk. Ain't that how the devil work? You know, the world love his own. When stuff start hitting the fan, they're going to come for them Christians. They're going to come for them holy rollers. They're going to come for those ones that say they love Jesus. Amen. See how much you love Jesus. But Daniel, the Bible says, with his counsel and his wisdom, Daniel didn't get no attitude like some of us would do. What you mean? What you talking about? What's going on? You know, the Bible says he was wise, unlike some of us sometimes need to be wise, you know, need to be quiet sometimes. You know, that man didn't owe him no explanation or nothing. All he was there to do was kill him. That was his job, to come and kill all the wise men. That meant Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the rest of them. But Daniel answered with some wisdom. You know, he was really smart in this, you know, like some of us need to be sometimes. Get in a predicament and you get to running off at the mouth, piecing your mind up, you know, can then come find out that you're wrong, you know. And then don't want to apologize because you're too proud. You got too much pride in you. You don't want to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That hurts too much. That's going to mess with your facade. The way I never, you know, not me. Yeah, you. But Daniel was wise in answering. Jesus said, look, agree with thine enemy. Quickly, he said, so he won't haul you off to prison. Solomon wrote it like this in 25 and 15. He said, by long bearing or long suffering or patience, is a prince persuaded. You know, you got to be patient sometimes. Just let him speak and don't be so hasty to talk. You know, he said, long bearing, forbearing, long suffering, and patience is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Daniel broke him down with the wisdom that he had. The Bible says, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You know, he would have stirred that dude up and said, what? I don't owe you nothing. Chopped his head off. Stuck him in the gut with the sword. But he was wise. And we got to be wise as the serpent, but harmful as the dove. Amen. This man didn't have to tell them nothing. He didn't owe them no explanation. He was supposed to kill them. But Daniel broke him down with the wisdom. How many are asking God for wisdom every day? We need wisdom every single day. We need wisdom in this time and this hour. We need to know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. We need God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. So Daniel had that wisdom, and look what this wisdom did. This wisdom brought him before the king. You know, one of the captain didn't get killed because the king gave you an order, gave him a decree. And when king give you a decree, it's supposed to be carried out, you know. And so Daniel, in all his wisdom, his favor from God, he said, then Daniel went in and desire of the king that he would give him time. and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they would desire mercies of God and have the desired mercy of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. See, Daniel was so wise, he got in and asked the king himself. He was asking the king himself, Lord, why are you so hasty? You know, why are you in the hurry to kill us and everybody? You know, had I known, king, you wouldn't have to go this far. You know, you didn't let me know. King was looking to the astrologers and the magicians. He didn't seek the wise men. You know, he didn't seek those four wise young men. You know, that maybe he didn't think they had no sense. You know, they were just Jews. They were Israelites. You know, they didn't have no understanding. And Daniel said, why didn't you seek me first? Why didn't you ask me? King, don't just give me some time. How many know God giving you some time? He giving you time right now. God is giving you time. He said, just give me some time. And what I like about Daniel, Daniel didn't go off to himself either. The Bible says that he went to his house. I interpret that he went to his own people. He went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went to people that had some faith. He went to people that would pray, that knew how to pray. He went to people that knew their God. Amen. And he found out that they that know their gods, that know their God, will do exploits. So he went to his own house. It's time out for running to everybody else. It's time out for running to this person, that person. You got to go to your own house. You got to go to the household of faith where people going to pray and labor for you, labor with you. Amen. And so he went to his own house. It's time for us to go to our own house and stop running to everybody else. You can run to your house, and sometimes you get all the gossip. You can run on your job and see things are shaky, and you still won't get no good. Nobody don't want to pray. You know, you find gossip everywhere. You find it in the street. You find it at home. You ain't finding too many people that's calling prayer. We find it at the dinner table. Gossip, gossip, gossip. He ain't tell us to go and gossip about it. He said, go and spread the gospel. Not spread the gossip. It's time for us to kill the gossip. Amen. We got too many people gossiping, talking about this and talking about that. Talk about it with Jesus. If you want to gossip, Jesus listen to it. You want to talk about something? He said, bring it to me. I'll listen to it. And you get to my, see, Lord, I don't know why they this and why they that and why they this. And he said, it ain't none of them. It's you. What? Well, that wasn't none of the Lord. Go back to gossip again. Go back to Jesus again. It's you. Not my brother. Not my sister. Not my mama. Not my daddy. It ain't the preacher. It ain't the deacon. But it's me, oh Lord. How many know it's us? How many know it's us that's causing this stink? How many know it's us that's causing this stagnated move? How many know it's us and not them? Amen. It's time out for that. That's why he went to his own house. He went to the people that he know that's going to pray. Somebody going to say, yeah, okay, let's not talk about it like that. It's time for us to lay down. It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to do what God wants us to do. You know, and he went to them. He said, look, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he told them that all the wise men are going to die. That includes us too, y'all. We're going to die too if somebody don't tell this king his dream and the interpretation of it. So they begin to pray. And when they begin to pray, when you begin to pray to God, when you begin to pray to God, when they begin to pray, man, God came in and answered them. Don't you know when you begin to pray, really get down in prayer? I ain't talking about these little lay me down prayers. And the Bible tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We got to get fervent with our prayers. We got to get pray like Paul say, pray all kinds of prayer. Amen. We got to be praying in all kinds of ways today. We got to pray in the spirit. We got to pray with our understanding. Amen. We got to pray intercessory prayers. We got to pray. We got to pray for breakthroughs. Amen. We got all kind of prayers that we got to. We got to pray for healing. We got to pray for peace. We just got to pray, because what's happening is God's people are perishing. They're dying every day. They're dying physically and they're dying spiritually. They're dying physically and they're dying spiritually. So when we begin to pray, God begins, he will move. So when they began to pray, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know, there's a vision that God wants to show. There's something God wants to show us. Because if God had not given Daniel that vision, they all was going to perish. If God don't give somebody a vision, I don't know what a prophet's at. If God don't give us a vision, so many people are going to perish. People are perishing in our homes. They're dying, spiritually dying, physically dying. They're leaving here. And you wonder if they knew the Lord. You know, do you ever say that? I wonder if they knew the Lord. Did anybody ever ask you, did you tell them anything about the Lord? We want to know if they knew that. Did I say something to them about you? You know, did I tell them anything about you? Or did I pray? Did you show me something and I missed it? Huh? Said, where there is no vision, the people perish. So when they begin to pray, God opened this thing up. Man, you're talking about a God showing this boy, this man, a dream that nobody told him. You're talking about a God that dwelt with flesh and giving him the interpretation of it. He said, God said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great. They understood that. We got to understand that we call unto God. Make sure we're praying in God's will, asking in God's will. God know you need stuff. He know you need things. But man, there's a greater need out there, a much more greater need. He said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Daniel didn't know nothing about this vision. He didn't know nothing about this dream that this king had. All he knew, he had a dream. And he didn't know nothing about the interpretation. It had to be given to him. God wants to give us dreams. He wants to give us the interpretation thereof. The world is relying on you and me. It's relying on you and me. God is sending you out there. That's why he said, look, pray that the Lord will send laborers into his harvest. And we're praying, Lord, give me a freezer full of food. God give you a freezer for the food. You're going to make your big dinner for everybody, invite the poor in, the lame, the sick. You're going to invite them in. God gives us something so we can give, not hoard. So he gave this man of the interpretation of this dream and gave him the dream. God said, if you call unto me, it's time to start calling, saints. He said, I will answer thee. I mean, you know, God will answer you and he will show you great and mighty things that we don't even know. He will show us unsearchable things, things that are hidden, things that are unreachable, that nobody else can access but by God. God wants to show us this. David said, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. God wants to deal bountifully with us so we can live and keep his word. And then he said, open up my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things from your law. God wants to show us something, saints. He wants to show us great and mighty things. So he showed Daniel the dream, and God gave him the interpretation of it. And they praised God. And then they praised God. I mean, he just let his praise go up. He worshiped the Lord. And so when God showed him the dream and gave him the interpretation thereof. Amen. Remember, without a vision, the people going to perish. If God had not gave Daniel the dream and the interpretation of, people was going to perish. I believe if God don't show somebody something in this day and hour, it's going to be a whole lot of, we can see if you watch the news. God, please say, I watch the news. I see what's going on. And if I see what's going on, then I ought to be praying about what's going on. But God has a bigger plan. He wants us to see a bigger vision. Amen. Of what's going on. And it's just not here. It's abroad. It's everywhere. Ain't no peace nowhere in the land. There is no open vision nowhere in the land. I ain't seen nobody or heard nobody come on TV, on the gospel channels, on the radios, saying what God showed them for the nation. Nobody. And so when God gave him this interpretation, he was praising God, thanking God, worshiping God. Lord, you did it. We're safe now. But what God showed him wasn't no good news. So he prayed that God would show him the dream interpretation. But then now he got to be the bearer of some bad news to the king. You know, the king was going to kill us if we didn't give him the dream and interpretation. But doggone, I give him this bad anyway, because it's going to be some bad news I got to tell the king. And what he saw, he had to tell the king. He thought he was so far out of the line of fire. But you know what? It didn't matter to Daniel. He knew his God. He knew God was able to deliver. Anybody know God is able to deliver? He knew God was able to keep him. Amen. Say, now I got to tell this king some bad news. So Daniel tells him the dream. He said he saw a huge statue. O king, he said, the head was made of fine gold, and the chest and arms were made of silver, and the belly and the thighs were made of bronze, and the legs and the feet were made of clay. And he was telling the king that you, O king, you was the head that was made out of gold. And God has given you a kingdom. And he's given you great power. He's given you strength. And he's given you glory. Then the Medes and the Persians was the chest and the arms. And they were made out of silver, he told them. And he told him that, O king, these Medes and these Persians are going to overthrow your kingdom and take your kingdom. Then there was the belly and the thighs was Greece made out of bronze. And he said, O king, the Greece is going to overthrow the Medes and the Persian and take their kingdom. And then he got to the legs and the feet and he said, they are the Romans. They're made of iron and clay, and they will overthrow Greece and overtake their kingdom. Now you notice how these metals went from precious metal to non-precious metal, gold, silver, bronze, and iron. It symbolizes to me, or represents to me, that the immorality, the lifestyles were decreasing. They were getting really bad. And if you look out today and see that the lifestyle has decreased, people don't live like they used to live no more. People don't love like they used to love no more. The sin is just blatantly. They don't care. Everything goes. You know, ain't nobody in the closet no more. Everybody came out the closet. And they talk about the homosexuals and all of them. Well, what about the murderers? They came deeply out of the closet. And when I was coming up, it was some murders, but not to the degree as it is today. People just taking lies. Man, my son told me I know y'all probably heard it, that this man in North County got out of prison. I don't know if this thing was right, but when he got out of prison, he came home and he had a 15-year-old son. And he was trying to, you know, I guess, get him back on track. You know, tell him what's right now, maybe. They got into it. The daddy went to sleep, and when he went to sleep, the boy put a gun to his head, blew his brains out. I mean, people don't care no more. I mean, things have increased. Morality decreased, the sin has increased. And he said, this is the kingdom, O King, is what's happening. The morale and the spiritual has declined of the nations. And we can see it today. It's no holds bar out there. People say what they want to say. They go and do what they want to do. Amen. They're showing up trying to send a message to the judge. Women in the courtroom taking off all their clothes. Y'all seen that? They just get naked. And the people tell them, stop. No. Put your clothes on. They said, we can do what we want to do. Y'all letting everybody else do what they want to do. They said, take a look. Amen. And so this is where we are today. If we don't need a vision, I don't know what we need. If we don't need God, I don't know who we need. And so he said this, these morales and spiritual declines in the nation is what's happening. But he said also, O King, that ain't the end of it. He said, but I saw a stone. Come on, somebody. I saw a stone cut out of a mountain. And it broke in pieces the iron and the clay, the bronze and the silver. And this kingdom was not built up on any of those things. It wasn't built up on silver. It wasn't built up on gold. It wasn't built up on iron and brass. It was founded up on a rock. This kingdom was. And he said, this kingdom, this rock would overthrow all kingdoms. And it would last for an eternity. This kingdom that I'm talking about, this kingdom will come. His will be done. His power, his glory will be forever and ever. And we're talking about the kingdom of God is going to come, saints of God. It's going to come. It's here and it's going to be here forever. Amen. It's going to destroy every yoke. Amen. He's going to get things in line. The earth is going to be is full of unrighteousness. It's full of immorality. It's full of murdering, lying and hatred. Amen. But this kingdom, his kingdom, the kingdom of God, it was founded up on the rock. Amen. And he is the chief cornerstone. This king, he said, this, O King, this kingdom will last forever. It's going to rule all the kingdoms. God is telling us, saints, that he is on his way back. You know, and he said he will shorten the time. Amen. Because if he didn't, the very elect wouldn't be saved. So God is going to rule and reign in the earth. Amen. Don't think for 1 minute that this stuff that's going on is going to continue to go on. It's not. God is going to reign. He's going to bring order. And that's what the world is looking for, order. They're looking for peace. People are looking for peace. You know, sinners, saints, everybody is looking for peace. Amen. They're looking for somebody to get this thing right. They're looking for the next presidential candidate to get it right. He ain't going to be able to do it. It's not with man. That he said, oh, King, there is not a man. Amen. There is not a man down here that can do it. But we know a man named Jesus. He did it already. He destroyed the kingdom of darkness. And he's going to come down here and get this stuff in order. He's going to get us in order. Amen. He's going to get us in. God is trying to get his people in order first. Amen. He wants us in order. In order for we can get something in order. So things got to be in order. Amen. So he's telling the king. And the king, let's go and deal with the king do. You know, I guess when Daniel wasn't like this when he was telling the king. As if though the king will say, Oh, no, that ain't happening, Daniel. I'm not losing my kingdom. Off with his head. Daniel was standing firm, just telling this dream. This what you dreamed, king. You said you wanted to know the dream and you wanted to know the interpretation of. Don't kill the messenger. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you what God was showing you, that you didn't know what was going to happen. God is telling us something that we don't know. We need to know it. A lot of people don't think they need to. I like to know. So I know how to pray. I like to know. Or so I know I need to get in line, get myself right. Amen. It ain't always the nation. We part of the nation. We got to get right too. Amen. Judgment going to start at the household of faith. Amen. It's going to start right here with us. And the king answered Daniel and said, of a truth. Look at her. It is that your God is the God of all gods and the Lord of kings and revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this thing. That was just amazing to the king. He didn't say nothing about his kingdom being overthrown. He said, man, it is. You, what kind of God you serve? People want to know what kind of God we serve. They gonna want to know, what kind of God is it that healed cancer? What kind of God is it that will take away migraine? What kind of God that will call somebody to knock on your door and give you a blessing? What kind of God does this? You know, he's mindful of us. The king was so ecstatic about what God had did with Daniel. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. There is the king, thank you. But don't forget about my boys. Don't forget about my brothers. You know, bless them too. The king blessed Daniel to be a great man. The Bible tells us that when a man ways, please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with them. Amen. So you ain't got to worry about your enemies. You ain't got to worry about the people that's mistreating you. You ain't got to worry about the people that's talking about you. You ain't got to worry about the people that's against you. You ain't got to worry about the world. You ain't got to worry about that one on your job, hates your stinking guts. You ain't got to worry about them. Because when your ways, not their ways, when your ways please God, he going to make the enemy to be at peace with you. You're going to have peace in the valley. You, the lamb, going to lie down with the lion. Amen. So don't worry about your enemies. He'll put that person that's treating you really bad in his place. Amen. So we need a vision. Only way we can get this vision is by seeking God. We got to see. And I know, Brother Al, we walk not by sight. We walk by faith. But God wants you to see something. He wants you to see how great he is. God wants to work through you. He don't have to use you. He don't have to use me, but God wants to use you. And know that there is a God in heaven that rules heaven and he rules earth and he dwells among men. He dwells among us. You know, how do you know he dwell among you? Did you get up this morning by yourself? Huh? Somebody called your name. Tawana. Joe. Brian. Somebody touched you and got you up. That's how I know God dwells among me. Somebody is speaking to me in my mind, telling me, in spite of Al, just hold on. In spite of Sister Selena, God will. He will. He's coming. Just be patient. wait on him. In spite of, brother Ryan, it's on the way. You may not see it.
I ain't gonna bet you. I believe.
It's all right to believe, ain't it? I believe that if we do it God's way, you will see something. You will see it. God will show it to you. He said he would not hold any good thing. Any good thing from them that walk upright before him. God looking for people to walk upright. Amen. So know that God wants to use you. It's something that we have to do. We've been doing. And I thank God for that, the doing part that we do here. We try the Spirit. We feel like the Spirit is saying this. We try. But we're going to try this. We're going to try this fast. I don't know when yet. And I don't know which one yet. But I'm just going to tell you that we have to do a little bit more. Not that God is, I ain't going to say he's not requiring more. I believe he is. Not that the more is going to be the production. I believe the faith, you know, you got to have works without faith. You got to do something. Amen. So we're going to try to do a little bit more to please our God. Because I believe God wants to drop down in the center, in the midst of his people, without a vision. My people perish. And I'm tired of people leaving here wondering. Amen. It's all right. You know, Daniel said, Lord, you know, show us this dream because we don't want to perish with these men. If I die, let me die in the army of God. Let me die trying. God bless you this morning. Without a vision, we're going to be praying and we're going to be seeking God even the more. And we're going to try to get on this one accord. You know, we know God, we have so many things that we need to pray for. We have intercessory prayer, but we got to pray for our nation. We got to pray for the church. You know, when I speak of the church, I'm talking about Revival Center. I'm talking about the body of Christ. You know, the church everywhere. You know, we pray for one another. I think that should be a daily thing that, you know, we pray for our brothers and sisters on a daily basis. And I know you can get balled up with prayers the way that phone be going. But that's a good thing. Don't stop it. Because the people need prayer. We got to pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.